Welcome to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Their goal is to win the lost, disciple Christians, set the captives free, and see the sick made whole. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org. Now, here is Pastor Gary Culp with today's message.
Well, good afternoon. The Lord bless you. What do we know for sure? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray for souls. We want to go, everyone to go to heaven, so at least let's pray for the every boy and girl, man and woman in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. Also, Father, we're praying for their past, their present, future spouses, and all the children they have now in the future and their family members, all grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members, all great-grandchildren they have now in the future and their family members. By faith in you, Lord Jesus, we ask you to reveal yourself to each person. Holy Spirit, we ask you to convict every person of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Lord Jesus, reveal to each person your incarnation, your perfect life, the great miracles you did, your death, burial, and resurrection, your precious atoning blood, the revelation and understanding by your stripes we were healed. We come to every boy and girl, man and woman. And Father, they would humble themselves before you, repent of their sins, receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord, being gloriously born again from above. And Father, we ask you to get every person into a good Bible-believing teaching church, that then be baptized in water, receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Father, we're praying for every Christian to become a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're crying out for every demon-possessed and demonized and captive person to be set free. And yes, Lord Jesus, all the sick to be healed from every sickness and every disease, and your people to receive and to walk in financial abundance, prosperity, debt cancellation of their debts, the full blessing of Abraham, whom God blessed in all things. And we agree in Jesus' name. Also, Father, we want to pray for our country. Father, we declare God bless America. Heavenly Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true God. We declare, Lord Jesus, you are Lord of our lives, Lord of our families, Lord of our church, Lord of our state, and Lord of our nation. And Lord, we're excited about this end time, celebrating our nation as being a godly, righteous nation. And we pray many souls will come into the kingdom from that, Father God. Also, we want to lift up your servant, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and all these cabinet appointees, past, present, future, and their family members. Father, it's so important that they're all born-again believers, Holy Spirit baptized and filled, living for you, Lord Jesus. Any of them that are not, we're crying out for them right now. And Father, we pray that your hand will be upon them. And whether they understand it or not, Father, you would guide them, and all their decisions they make would be based on the truth of your word and our Constitution, and you would give them great grace and boldness, and yes, Lord, you would protect them from evil, wicked people. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Also, Father, please continue to bless Donald Trump and the ICE agents as you expose and bring to light, Father, every foreign soldier, every terrorist, ever prisoner, ever pedophile, ever drug trafficker, ever sex trafficker. Father, everyone who has come into America to do evil and harm is being brought into the light, and you're driving them out of this country never to return, and we declare that in Jesus' name. Also, Father God, we know in these end times you warned us about things to happen, so we ask your continued hedge of protection and angelic protection about our power grid. Father, please protect our electricity, our gas, our oil, our coal. Please, Father, protect our water tables, which includes the water in our wells and city water. Father, please protect our food, our farms, our farmers, our food production plants. We agree together, Father, allow no person, group, or nation to poison, hack, diminish, destroy, harm any of these resources. And if any person, group, or nation tries to do them, you'll stop them, you'll shut them down, Father. And we thank you for it. And Father, we've been hearing rumors about them trying to bring another COVID-19 or pestilence to the world and to America. Father, we cry against it, Father. Expose those wicked people. Shut them down. Don't let them develop another virus, Father God, to sway elections and do evil, Father. Shut them down. Expose them, Father. We agree together. Bring forth your full judgments against those people, Father, that are doing this evil, and shut them down, Father. Don't let them do it, in Jesus' name. And also, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we love the Jewish people. Please bring them into the kingdom of God. Please remove the blinders and scales off their hearts and minds, and they would see, Lord Jesus, that you are their Messiah, you are Savior and Lord, and they'd be born again. Father, we agree with you that they have title deed to all the land of Canaan. Would you please restore that land to them? And again, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Father, if anyone tries to harm the nation Israel or Jewish people in any way, shape, or form, you would stop them. And if they persist in their evil against them, you would destroy them. And that's according to your word. And we agree with you now. And we thank you for answering this prayer in Jesus' name. Okay, well, today we're going to look at something very practical, something everyone has to deal with, and I pray you're finding the victory of, and that's temptation. There's no one listening to my voice that isn't tempted to do evil, and sometimes it's pretty regular. But let's look at it. James chapter 1, beginning verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted of God. Now we're talking here about the solicitation to do evil. So God does not tempt you to do evil. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Okay, so it's not God that tempts you to do evil. The solicitation to do evil is from the devil. You know, one very practical example, and God spells it out, is back in Acts chapter 5. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? Acts 5:1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of it, the price, his wife also knowing of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, now notice what he says, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not in thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wrapped him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them who have buried thy husband are at the door, and carry thee out. Then fell she down immediately at his feet and died. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. So we see Satan had filled his heart. Satan is the one who tempts you. Now let's contrast that with just a minute, since we're in the book of James 2. God does test us. God said there would be trials and tests as believers that would come across us. And you've got to go through those. Now the tempting, we need to shut those down with the word of God. But God does test us. But we're talking here about temptation. But let's just talk about the test just a minute. Notice here in James chapter 1, we'll go back to verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And most of us, that is not your immediate reaction. But we got to learn to do that, right? Okay. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Maybe just one more with that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, are in heaviness through manifold trials. Again, trials come to all. No exceptions, okay. But notice this good news. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that means it gets pretty hot sometimes, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, God does allow tests. We're talking about temptation, but I don't want you to confuse. There are tests you will have to go for, and that is for the refining of your faith, the approval of your faith, often leads to revelation, and it's proving where you're at with God by the testing. So you have to go through that. Okay. Now let's go back to temptation, the solicitation to do evil. Well, we know it's not from God. Remember Jesus. Jesus went, before he stepped into his ministry, he was tempted by the devil. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then was Jesus led by the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, see, there it is. The tempter is Satan, not God. God does not play games with you. He never tries to get you to do evil. But the devil, that's all he does. Okay. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You need to pick up on this, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, how can I know every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? The Bible. The Bible is the word of God. And we've talked about that a lot. But again, Satan is the tempter. Jesus defeated him with the word of God. And that's how you're going to defeat him too. Notice also in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, it says God cannot be tempted. Well, I thought you told me Jesus is God. Well, yes, he's the God-man. But when he operated in life and did his ministry, he did his ministry as a man, filled and directed by the Holy Spirit in subjection to his Father. So see, Jesus really is our example, okay? Notice here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, Jesus, in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. So Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted as a man. So he can have compassion on us, okay? And with that in mind, let's jump to chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Who's the Son of God? Jesus, okay. Let us hold fast our profession or confession. Never give up your confession of Jesus and the Word, okay? For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, here's a verse you better walk in. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That means you've messed up, right? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you sin as a Christian, you need mercy. You need to confess that. come boldly to the throne of grace because you are his child, and repent, confess, and receive mercy and get grace and strength not to do that again. Do you get the point? Okay. But I want you to understand, it's not a sin to be tempted. A temptation comes to a thought to your mind, well, why must have done something wrong? No, no. The devil is tempting you. Now, the good news is that God will never put too much on you. You say, well, where's that verse? I need to hear that. Glad you ask. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, never forget that. God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God will never put too much on you. You never have to fear that. Back to our passage. Every man is tempted, verse 14, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Okay. What's this lust deal? Well, because you're part of the human race, and because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, everyone has within us a flesh or a fallen nature. That fallen nature's not good. In that fallen nature is perverted desires and passions. Let me prove that to you, even from the Word of God and from David. David will give us a little encouragement here. Psalms chapter 51. We'll start verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. See, that's a good thing to do when you sin, okay? Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Notice verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Okay, we have a sinful nature. We got it from Adam and Eve, and every little cute little baby has it. And then when we get old enough to know right and wrong and become accountable for God, we're accountable for giving in to those sinful desires. Now again, let's talk about the evil desires. They can be in either our heart or our mind. Back here in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, and really this is very interesting. Let's look at verse 16. Notice what Jesus says. And Jesus said, are you also without understanding? Do not you yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the stomach and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now notice this. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So what comes out of the heart? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. See, you got a heart problem, right? It comes forth, Jesus said, and Jesus does not lie, out of the heart. Remember we just read about Ananias? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Okay. Also, evil desires can be in our minds. Notice in 2 Corinthians 10, and this is a verse, if you're a very diligent Christian, you practice. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds are the fortresses of lies that we've believed. or you might say a demonically induced pattern of thinking, okay? So those need to be cast down, right? Casting down imaginations, you know what imaginations are, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Did you hear that? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. So evil desires come in our hearts and can be in our minds. Now, you need to also, well, I must be terrible and awful. Well, I mean, the thing is, you love the Lord and want to do the right thing. Remember, there's also the devil who tries to put into your heart and mind those things. And it's not originating with you, it's the devil. You have thoughts that you really hate and you're kicking yourself. No, kick the devil. Remember, as God talks to us about putting on the whole armor of God, let's remind ourselves. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. I pray you do that every day, that you might be able to stand against the wiles, trickery, deceptions of the devil. Okay, so God says the devil is going to try to attack you as Christians. And if you're very mature and live very long, you know that. Okay. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, that's Satan's kingdom, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you, it's not automatic, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And here it is. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Hold up that shield of faith, which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. See, Satan shoots fiery darts. With his demonic imps and things like that, he tries to tempt you in your mind. He tries to get you to do wicked things. And if he can't do it through your mind, he'll do it through others. He'll do it through this world system that calls good evil and evil good and try to get you confused about what's right and wrong. And they become temptations to you to do evil. So don't think it's just you. The devil is trying to mess with you. Of course, the world system is being controlled by the devil. What a mess. Have you would agree with that? So it's not just you, but the devil is trying to mess with you. But we got an armor. And this is take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But again, when you give in to those sinful lusts, you do sin. Sin becomes mature. You do the wrong thing. You've entertained it in your mind and heart, and now you do the wrong thing and you sin. And what do we do when we sin? 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another good scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 28. Oh, well, first of all, 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. What you think about is what you become. Did you recognize that? How about Proverbs 28:13? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And then it says sin, when it's fully matured, brings forth death. You see, as a Christian, yes, you have eternal life. You have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. God is for you. But if you begin playing in the devil's playground, if you get into sinful temptations and don't deal with them, their sin will still bring death into your life. Remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there are Christians that have a lot of death in them because they're living sinful lifestyles, doing sinful things, not dealing with it, and death is at work in them. That's just the reality. Sin bringeth forth death. You're dying a little bit when you sin and don't deal with it. So that's why we got to learn to put on the whole armor of God, study God's word. Remember David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So sin pays a price. If you don't deal with it, it's death. Now, the good news is, even though we're tempted, the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, is right with us, and he convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, who regenerated you when you got saved, he came to live in your body. Remember, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. He will also convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show you when you say and do the wrong things, and you can repent and get right with God and go forward with God. You fall down, you get up again. And you get up again by repenting and saying, okay, Jesus, I repent now, but I'm not going to do it again. Help me. And you keep walking with God. Never give up. But if you persist in a sin, you can persist, and this is kind of the last thought, and God will give you over to sin. Remember in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. And then he talks about creation, how people didn't want God and got away from God. In verse 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And sad to say, that's in many churches today. They have exchanged the truth of the Bible for lies and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Okay, you persist in sin? For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. Talking about lesbianism, women with women. That's a judgment of God, okay? And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. A judgment of God. You don't want God? God will turn you over to perverse men, and men will become homosexuals. Even worse, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not seemly. Reprobate means a base and condemned mind, which means they sin and they tell you, no, it's okay. I'm right with God. Nothing wrong with this. God gives them over. Now, if people are praying for them and things like that, they can repent. They can get right with God. But I'm just telling you, you don't want God. You want to do sinful things. God will convict you, but you don't get right. God will give you over to those things. So that's good news. You don't want God to give you over to any sin, because then you won't repent. God just gave you over to it. Now, doesn't mean necessarily before you die you can't repent and get right with God, especially if people are praying for you and praying for mercy and grace for you. But I'm just telling you, sin's nothing to play with. God gives you a reprobate mind. You're going to live that lifestyle. You're going to do those evil things. You don't want that to happen to you, do you? Okay. So when you sin, repent, line up with the Word of God, and do what's right in His eyes. Now again, when you're tempted to sin, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in Jesus, you're just going to sin. And you're not forgiven because the blood of Jesus hasn't washed away your sins. Do you want your sins to be forgiven? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want eternal life? Do you want Jesus to be your Savior? Let's pray right now. Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm a sinner. I've done many bad things. Lord Jesus, I want to be forgiven. I understand you died for my sins and rose again and shed your precious blood. I repent of all my sins, Jesus. Please come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself to you completely, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of Exceedingly Abundant Ministries in cooperation with Bethel Worship Center of Joplin, Missouri. Bethel Worship Center is located at 3125 West 20th Street in Joplin. Weekly service times are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit their website at betheljoplin.org or send an email to Pastor Gary. His email is garyculp@yahoo.com. Please join them again next week as they continue to expound on God's truth, in a relevant and practical way.